At this time, we're going to hear item one, family and juvenile law, special juvenile immigration status in the California courts. And this is a non-action item, and we welcome Kurt Child, as well as, I believe, Mr. Corby Sturges, Judicial Counsel Center for Families, Children, and the Courts.
Good afternoon, Chief and members of the council. We just wanted to update the Judicial Council on this very important issue of the special immigrant juvenile status for children and the steps that the Judicial Council staff are taking to be able to assist the courts with what we are certain are going to be a number of new cases that are going to be coming into the courts to deal with this very important issue. And so we want to make sure that we can help the courts fulfill what is their obligation under what is a little bit unusual in the sense that this is a role that the state court has under federal immigration law. Although federal law that created the special immigrant juvenile status has been the law since 1990, it's really taking on a new importance due largely to the issue of the number of unaccompanied minors that are now coming into to the United States. The governor and the legislature at the very end of the session pass some legislation to clarify what that state court's role is in these cases, and I'll come to that in just a minute. So why this current focus? As I mentioned, it's really been this recent surge of the unaccompanied minors from, in 2011, 6,775 of these to, in 2014 is 68,541, so the numbers are really climbing quite dramatically. And for those children released to sponsors, and that is to usually adult relatives, family members, friends, for this calendar year is about 45,000 children. These children are coming largely from Central America, as you can see, from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, and a lot of that is attributable to violence, poverty, family unification issues that are being experienced in those children's home countries. And there's just a illustration of the growth now of the unaccompanied minors. The special immigrant juvenile status was really intended as a special humanitarian relief for immigrant children who've been abused or neglected or abandoned. It was established by Congress in 1990. There's been several amendments to that legislation since then. The essence of that federal legislation is really to provide a process for those children to be able to remain in the country and ultimately apply for a lawful permanent resident status. And there's an important function for the state courts in this process that I'll discuss for just a moment. There's, as far as the federal process, there's really a three-step process that they go through for a juvenile ultimately to be able to obtain lawful permanent residence. And you've got to work through this process. So the request, first of all, is some predicate findings from the state juvenile court, and that's really what we'll talk about as the essence of our concern. After that, once those findings are made, the children can petition immigration services for a classification as a special immigrant juvenile. And from that point, with that status, they're entitled to lawfully remain in the United States and then ultimately apply for lawful permanent residence. So typically what happens with these children upon arrival in the U.S. is there will be a detention by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. From that point, they're transferred to the U.S. Department of Refugee Resettlement, ultimately placed in a temporary shelter, and hopefully then released to a sponsor or placed in foster care. I think this is each of these steps that we see the children ultimately going through. This lays out really the total of the children that have been released from OR in our custody in California, and again for this calendar year by county. So again, as I mentioned, 4,905 of them, with the numbers in these particular counties, no surprise, with Los Angeles the most, and Alameda, Orange, San Francisco is where the largest of the population is being seen. Interestingly, I think the number for San Diego is about 105, isn't it, Corbin? So what is the state role in the SIJS process? This is where we come up to SB 873. This was some legislation that occurred at the very end of the session as part of the budget cleanup bill. And the intent here, I think, as both the governor and the legislative leaders stated, that 873 was intended to eliminate any ambiguity regarding the jurisdiction of the state court to make findings necessary to enable the federal government to grant these minors special immigrant juvenile status and to make the predicate findings if the evidence supports them. Both the legislature and the governor were very out front on this, as was the attorney general, as an important issue. I think largely what this legislation does is codify existing federal law, but again, it was intended to clarify for the states that there is indeed the state role. According to a number of members in the legislature, that they were hearing that there were problems with the courts sometimes turning away those who were making applications and sending them to immigration to get them resolved. So really now the focus becomes looking at what the court's role is in making these findings for the purpose of federal law. I'll just mention a couple of other provisions that were in 873 that clarified that evidence supporting the petition can come from the declaration of the child who's seeking the status. And there is a provision that essentially provides that youth shall be provided interpreters consistent with existing law. So nothing particularly added on that point. And then lastly, there was $3 million appropriated for legal aid counsel for these children in the programs. That was appropriated to the State Department of Social Services to do the distribution to qualifying legal services organizations. And I think they are still working on the process to get those dollars out. And federal law provides that a juvenile court, for the purpose of making this determination, which it says should make the determination, is a court within the state who makes determinations about the care and custody of children. 873 clarifies that to be clear that a family, probate, juvenile court, those divisions can make the determinations about the care and custody of the children. The predicate findings that are important that have to be made is that the child has been either declared a dependent of the court or legally committed to or placed under the custody of a state agency, for example, foster care, or an individual or entity appointed by the court. There has to be a finding of reunification is with one or more parents is not viable because of the abuse, neglect, and abandonment. And some federal unpublished administrative decisions indicate that a child can be placed with one parent and satisfy that requirement for federal law. And then finally, that it's been determined in the administrative or judicial proceeding that it would not be in the child's best interest to return to his or her previous country. There are still a few issues that are not resolved, and we are still working on, but they include subject matter jurisdiction, personal jurisdiction, and consistency with the Hague Conference and other federal laws, and the scope of the quantum of evidence that will be an issue, and confidentiality, and state law makes 873 makes clear that these are indeed proceedings in which should be confidential. But what we have done thus far as getting some resources out to the courts, is CJR had put together a video that is posted on CJR Online on the immigration considerations in juvenile court. Recently, there was the guardianship roundtable of advanced issues in probate. We had prepared and distributed on the 29th of last month a fairly comprehensive memo outlining much of what I've talked about today, and distributed that to the PJs and court execs. And in the conclusion of that, there is a list of indeed all of the education opportunities that are coming up and the other resources that are available. So the next steps are really, we have been able to get some names from Judge Slough and Mary Beth on members who will be participating with us to further determine what will be assistance to the court so that we can continue providing the information as these cases are coming in. In addition, council staff are planning a forum with judicial and court leaders from California and Mexico. That'll be in San Diego later this year. And hopefully we'll be able to get I think the group is coming up in the very near future. And Chief, as you mentioned earlier, this certainly has the eye of the Chief Justices around the country, where the Chief will be presenting a session in the Conference of Chief Justices in January. So the bottom line is we expect that there will be more cases that are heard. We, as really the legislature and the governor, were looking to us, want to make sure that we are part of this solution for resolving these cases and getting the hearings that they're entitled to under federal law. Corby, anything else?
No, I think that covers it. Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you. Any questions? Justice Hall.
Thank you, Chief. Harry Hall. Kurt, obviously this is an important undertaking. Have we done any thinking or any evaluation of the impact, if any, on our branch budgeting, our finances? Is there going to be a significant cost attendant to this effort?
I think as we begin to see some of these numbers, there will indeed be increased cases. It's not... The law is certainly not new, and I would suggest that even 873 isn't new in the sense that it was really just codifying the federal law. But, Corby, did you have something on the numbers, the budgeting? Ultimately, we hope the group will be able to come up with some numbers. Whether that will be appropriate in which to seek some additional funding, we'll have to evaluate that.
I'm sure we'll hear more about this. I appreciate the work that's being done on the issue. I know when I asked you several months ago where we were in California with it, I was very pleased to find out that CFCC was way ahead of the curve in terms of preparation of this material for the training of judges, because there's a view, at least nationally, that why the state court's being involved, this is a federal issue. And that's not accurate, because it is a hybrid situation when it involves minors who need to be declared dependents. So we're going to see this. We're going to see more of it. So I appreciate the work that's been done so far.
Thank you, Chief. And this was a good collaboration both with CFCC and CGER on putting the materials together and providing the educational opportunities.
Thank you. Thank you,
Chief.
Thank you.